Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. What a verse, what a statement. Most men, you want to be most or you want to be the rare exception? Most men, that's the average Christian, average Joe, just average, you know, good at talking, not much good at backing anything up, you know, proclaiming their own goodness. But a faithful man, that's what God's looking for, who can find. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we study the Bible. And Lord, may we see into the heart of a wonderful, faithful God. May we be inspired by your example to us. Lord, how great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, may it be said of us that we're a faithful people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a great man to study at the end of a year and a great man to study at the beginning of a new year. One of the most important young people, listen to me, one of the most important character traits that you can develop in your life is that of faithfulness. And that means that you can be counted on. That means you're where you ought to be when you ought to be there, doing what you ought to do, and people can count on you, and you are faithful to what God's called you to do. You know, at the end of this life, if we read the parable right, what we're working towards and hoping for is that God would look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I've told you this through the years. You know, you ought to break that statement down. I hear a lot of people saying, "Well, that's what I want to hear from God one of these days." Well, if you want to hear it, first of all, you're not going to hear "well done" if you don't do anything. Okay, God's not going to give lip service. God's not going to say something that's not true. God's not going to congratulate you for things you didn't do. And so this whole idea, I'm telling you what I'm hearing from independent fundamental preachers that are reading too many evangelical books. I'm hearing this criticism towards doers. I'm hearing criticism towards people that are accomplishing things. I hear statements like, "God is much more concerned about what you are than what you're doing." No, he's concerned about both. Okay, he's not going to stand there say, "Well existed." Okay, and we've got this idea that all of a sudden, you know, I hear performance-based, you know, it's a criticism towards fundamentalism. Is performance-based? Well, excuse me, the judgment seat's going to be about what you did. Okay, not how you felt, whether you tingled or not, what intentions you had. It's going to be about what you actually did. Okay, and so, "Well done, thou good." I'm so glad God didn't say "perfect." Nobody would ever be able to hear that. And I'm glad he didn't say "great," because the honest truth is, there's very few people that will probably rank amongst the great. You know, God says, "Be good." Just be good. And be faithful. And you know what? Faithfulness is something within the grasp of almost every single Christian. I mean, you know what? It doesn't matter your level of intellect. Doesn't matter how many talents you have. You know, you can be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. You can just show up and be in your spot. And God encourages us in this matter of faithfulness. Now, I want to talk about the faithful man tonight, but I want to first of all say this, and let me just read some verses to you. But folks, yes, we as Christians ought to be faithful, but let's remind ourselves of this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Aren't you glad God's faithful? You know what? I know I've disappointed God, but God's never disappointed me. And I know sometimes I've not been where I should be, but he's never not been where he should be. And sometimes I've missed an opportunity, but he doesn't miss anything. God is faithful. He's faithful to save us. He said this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not one person has ever been obedient to what is outlined in that verse, and God messed up, slipped up, and didn't save that person. He always is faithful to save every single person that turns to him. He's faithful to keep us. 1 Corinthians 1:6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's faithful to save us. He's faithful to keep us. Hey, guess what? When we mess up, he's faithful to forgive us. Isn't that good news? Preacher, I'm going to tell you, you can say, honestly, if I had to stand and give testimony, I mean, if I'm lying, I'm dying. give testimony as if I was standing before God. Preacher, I got to say this, 2012 hadn't been a great year for me spiritually. And there's some things I regret, and there's some things I wish I could go back. Hey, you know what? Let me just say this. Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Maybe the devil won some. And maybe you say, preacher, I wish I had a rewind button. Well, guess what? You don't. But you know what? By God's grace, you may have 2013. And you know, you can go to God. No, preacher, I've went to him before and I've confessed and then I fail again and I fail. Listen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the most exciting things in all of the world that you can tell a Christian, because see, we get down and we've made some mistakes and we've stumbled and fell and maybe we've even publicly embarrassed ourselves a little bit. And you know what? The devil sits on our shoulders and says, you know what? Just give up, quit. You know what? You're done. God's tired of hearing your excuses. That's a lie of the devil. There's not a person tonight that couldn't say, I'm going to go to an old-fashioned altar and I'm going to get my slate clean and I'm going to confess and I'm going to get right. And you know what? I'm going to stand up and charge into a new year and have the best year by the grace of God that I've ever had in my Christian life. God's for you and he loves you and he's faithful to forgive us. He knows we're but dust. So God's faithful. He's faithful to protect us. Whoo, my goodness sakes. 2013, he's done a lot of that for this church. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I love 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Preacher, there's some unreasonable and wicked men that seem like they've taken control of a nation. You know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. I love what God used Peter to write. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And so there's no better place that I can put my family and that I can put my church family than in the hands of Almighty God. And God's faithful. He's faithful when we're not faithful. Let me remind you of this. God is faithful to triumph in the end. We are on the winning side. I love Revelation 19:11. I know I read it a lot. But I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteous he doth judge and make war. And you know the rest of those verses. But when he comes, he's going to win. And he is faithful in this matter of triumphing in the end. Now, that ought to be our inspiration. Preacher, why did you give us that little outline? And we could have spoken more about the faithfulness of God. Because if God has been so faithful to us, then you know what? If we are going to be godly, if that's the goal of your life, I want to be godly, then we ought to want to reproduce that wonderful divine characteristic within our own life. God, please help me to be faithful. So number one, God is faithful. These are introductory statements. Number two, God counts faithfulness. He notices faithfulness. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Look at what that little phrase means. When it says he counted me faithful, you know what? That means he counted the number of times I was where I was supposed to be. He counted whether or not the number of times I could have been and should have been where I wasn't. He counted it. And you know what? When he counted it and he found me faithful, then he said, I can trust him to go into the ministry. Folks, listen to me. This matter of faithfulness is important. I've listened to people criticize and walk around. This surrender mentality of Christianity is driving me crazy. Okay? Good night. Stop communicating. Stop hanging around people that are trying to figure out how little they can do and still excuse it in their own minds. Get around people that are faithful and promote faithfulness and hold the line on faithfulness. And God counts a person. Let me just use this word. It was a requirement to God. He noticed it. He counted him faithful. Then he put him in the ministry. And then again, people are saying, well, you know what? That church has requirements. I don't know if they have. Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm never going to. Listen, are you kidding me? You want to be used in something, but you don't want to be faithful? Why would I plug somebody into some arena or some area of service when I can't even count on you being at church half the time? And what I'm saying is this, folks, faithfulness is the first requirement for service. If you want to be used of God, the first thing you better get down is get faithful. Be faithful, okay? God counts it. By the way, Paul wrote that to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, but then he writes in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So God doesn't just say, "Hey, Timothy, I counted you, and God counted me and you faithful, therefore he put us in the ministry." He said, "You look out, and you count, and you search out, and you find faithful men, and you impart to them the things that I've taught you." And so you know what? One of the challenges of my life, and I mean, I got this early. I'm telling you, I got it early. I know when you're growing up, mom and dad, you know, sees to it you're in church. If your mom and dad are just doing what they ought to do, they're seeing to it you're in church. But young men, young lady, you know what? You better get it in your heart at some point that whether or not mom said you had to go or not, you're going to be in church. Okay, I don't know where this verse in the Bible is. Someone help me with this. That says when you turn 18, all of a sudden you've got a permission slip not to be in church anymore. Yeah, that's a bunch of hogwash. And I'm going to tell you, now listen to me. Church, listen to me. You just look up here and you're going to do what you're going to do, but you're going to have to hear about it from time to time from me, all right? But shame on you parents that let somebody sleep in your house, under your roof, and eat your food, and you won't have them faithful in the house of God. Shame on you. If you're in my house, under my roof, eating my food, you go to the church I go to, and you go to it faithfully. Yeah, well, they're 18. Who cares? If they're 18 and they're an adult, good. It's time to prove you're an adult. Okay, you want to make all your own decisions? Pay your own bills. Now listen to me. Stop that nonsense. Where's 18 in the Bible anyway? Someone want to show that to me? Where all of a sudden if you're 18, you don't have to do right and you're allowed to get by with it? Not if you live in my house, you're not. Not if you live in my house, you're not. And so I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. Okay? I mean, you know what? Demand faithfulness. You got a right to do it. Now, listen, we should be faithful. God counts it. God considers it. God sees it as a requirement of our life, and God rewards it. Now, let's look around in Proverbs. I'm going to take you over real quick to Proverbs chapter 28. And when we're studying these, we're trying to stay in Proverbs. I read some verses outside of Proverbs, but I want you to move around within the book. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. The last introductory statement, God rewards faithfulness. Let me just read this verse, chapter 28, verse number 20. Notice what it says here. A faithful man shall what? Abound with blessings. Now God, he counts it and he's faithful and he counts faithfulness, considers faithfulness, but he also rewards faithfulness. Now, young lady, young man, one of the best pieces of advice I can give you for your own sake and to secure the blessing of God is just nail down this matter of faithfulness to God in your life. Just nail it down. Just make the decision. And you know what? You'd be 14 here tonight and say, "Preacher, I don't have a choice. I got to be at church no matter what anyway." Well, you know what? Just make the decision now. You know, even if I didn't have to, I'd be there because I'm going to be a faithful Christian from this point on the rest of my life. And so just remember, God will reward you. He will bless you for that. A faithful man is rare. Most men, our text verse said, will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And thank God, we went to a Sunday and traveled down to St. Louis, and then we got Mom and Dad Whittington settled. Me and Cheryl went over to Jim Beller's church. And Brother Jim Beller, God bless his heart. I mean, we were in Bible college together, and he became an assistant pastor of that church in Arnold, Missouri, just southern edge of St. Louis, and went down there. And some of a lot of our young people and over the years have been to their church. And we used to take the young people over there to some of their youth things. And I just walked in. I'm going to just tell you something. Thank God that he's still where God has put him. And I had no idea he was having the health problems. Jim's a Brother Beller, Pastor Beller's just a couple years older than I am, and they just put permanent tubes in. He's probably going to have to go on kidney dialysis, and 53, 54 years old, and have kidney problems and health problems and diabetes kind of tore him up. But you know what? Just stood up there and just preached. He told me after the service, his kidneys are working 8%. 8%. And he's standing up there preaching. I said, brother, if I'd have known that what you're preaching, I'm not sure I would have been able to concentrate. I mean, what? But faithful man. Thank God for faithfulness, you know. Folks, listen to me. And by the way, I've been at Brother Beller's church enough times that I don't know the people by name, but I know them. And Brother Harrison, you do that. You may not know everybody, but there's faces. When you come to Blessed Hope, you know I'm going to be able to see. And it's just great coming in, year out. I haven't been to Brother Beller's church for 6 years. We were talking about the last time I was there. I went over and preached a graduation for his high school last time I was there. And he said, that was in 06. I said, oh my goodness, it's been 6.5 years. But I walked in and I recognized the same solid core families in their place, still doing what the God's called them to do. I'm telling you, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. You can be fickle or you can be faithful. You got to choose. You can be fickle or you can be faithful. Now, I'm going to take you through and we're going to look at just four quick things. And we're going to go boom, 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 because we're going to put together treat bags and let you shop for books. Amen. So here we go. Proverbs 13, 17. Great little outline here in the book of Proverbs when it comes to faithfulness. Now getting very specific here. Proverbs 13, verse 17. Here's number one. We should be a faithful ambassador. A faithful ambassador. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Is health. Now, most of you are familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the challenge there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made us him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, young people, this is something Christians get a hold of this. If you're a Christian, you were born again. Then the minute that you were born again, a couple verses before that, tell us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your father changed. You know what? Your home country changed. Everything changed. You see, a child of God is not a resident of this world. We're not a citizen of this world. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Let me, come on, here's a good question. Are you feeling at home here? Have you settled in? Kind of blended in? Are you going to feel more home on earth, or when you get raptured, are you going to feel like a stranger in heaven? Where are you going to be more comfortable? We're to be ambassadors. Now, what is an ambassador? Let me give you a definition. A diplomatic, Mr. Webster's dictionary. A diplomatic official of the highest rank. Of the highest rank. Come on, man. The opportunity to represent God, to represent Jesus Christ. A diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by one sovereign or state to another as its resident representative. So I'm residing here, but I'm not a citizen here. And you know what? I don't represent this place. I represent another place. And I don't represent these people. I represent a king. Now, get a hold of that. Okay, as a Christian, we are to walk in this world and amongst this world, but we're not of this world. And you know what? We ought to conduct ourselves every single day as if we are representing heaven itself, as if God had commissioned us and sent us down here to represent him. And that's why a Christian ought to not look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and behave itself like the world. And I think one of the saddest things I ever heard from one of our core kids here, and this was years ago, but one of our core kids and he got frustrated and he said this in my office in front of his parents. He said, I just want to be like everybody else. I'm sick of being different. And I just looked at that boy and literally tears fell down on my face. Because why in the world would you want to be, blend in and look like a place that isn't your home? Okay? We're different. We're different. I don't understand Christian young people just fight and fight and fight and fight to try to be it and look like the world. I don't get it. This world's not my home. Okay, I don't feel at home here. Come on. I don't feel at home here. If I spend my $1 on a USA Today from time to time, by the time I've read it front to back, Brother Joe, I feel like an alien. I feel like I'm a man trapped in a foreign land. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. I don't want it. I'm repulsed by it. Why in the world would I be fussing with the preacher or fussing with parents or fussing with a church or the Word of God? And by the way, you're really just fussing with God about not wanting to be like a new creature. What you are, a Christian. I'm going to just say this. I wondered about, when I heard that boy say that, I thought to myself, I wonder if he's saved. It seems like kids get in church and they're raised up in church and they've learned to conform, but they've never been transformed. Because why would there be such a battle and a hankering and a determination? Well, I prayed the prayer. All right, you can say everything you want to say, but therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Pray every prayer you want to. I'll toss you some rosary beads. Just go crazy with them. But that don't mean you're a born-again Christian. And I don't get it. Some of you young people raised up in here, and you know, you look right because you have to, and you know all the right answers, but when it comes right down to it, your heart's so far away. I mean, you know, where's the connection? Where's the connection? I mean, the Bible tells me that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You get a brand new baby, you don't have to talk them into wanting milk. You deprive them of milk, they're going to start screaming. They're going to keep you up all night. There ain't going to be no sleeping. Okay, husbands, you got to learn how to roll over and kind of give the wife the elbow. You know, or be a good husband. That's another option. And get up and take the bottle and warm it up and do all of that stuff. But one way or another, let me tell you something. Nobody's sleeping until that baby, because you know why? It's just part of being a newborn baby. It's built in. And the Bible said, see, I'm come on now. This is good for us. Folks want to tell me, oh yeah, I got saved. And yet I've never seen a spiritual appetite and I can't find a spiritual pulse. I mean, I asked one parent here a while back and they were really frustrated, not in our church, somebody else seeking counsel and this, and their boy's causing them trouble and he's on up now 18, 19, living at home and he's chasing a pagan girl and he's done this three or four times where he gets infatuated with some lost pagan worldly girl and, you know, worries the parents. And I finally said, well, let me ask you a question. Has he ever shown any desire or interest in a spiritual girl ever? No, it just seems like he's always drawn. I said, he's drawn to what he is. I told that mom and dad, I said, you're not going to want to hear this, but I think you ought to start praying your boy gets saved. Because it's not just that. And I've known this kid. I've been in contact with him off and on. Loose association. I've kind of watched him from afar grow up. I can't ever remember that boy ever saying one spiritual thing or showing one spiritual desire and all the time. Something's wrong. Something's wrong after a while. Okay? But we are to be ambassadors. I'm not from here. My citizenship isn't here. Heaven's my home. God's my king. I walk this earth as a representative of Jesus Christ and as a representative of heaven and of my Father in heaven. And you know what? I don't have any desire to be like what I'm walking amongst. I want to shine like light in darkness. And listen, a faithful ambassador. Be a faithful ambassador. Number two, we've got to hurry. Proverbs 14:5. Man, all of those books are back there just begging to be bought, waiting for people to get back there. Come on now. Proverbs 14, verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Boy, we've preached on this, the truthful man versus the lying man, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but can you be counted to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? One of the things you ought to strive for and really make this as a goal of your life, I'm going to be a faithful witness. If I open my mouth, I want people to be able to trust what I say. I want to build confidence. I don't want to develop a reputation of being untrustworthy. Listen, if you're going to speak, speak the truth. Be a faithful witness. I'm just going to touch on that, move on. Proverbs 25:13. How about this idea of being a faithful messenger? There's two verses that I just love, and they're both found in the same chapter. Verse 13, verse 19. Let's read them back to back. Verse 13, Proverbs 25, verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. There's nothing better in the world than to be able to give somebody a job or a project or an opportunity or a message and know that, you know what, you don't have to worry about it. If they said that they would do it, it's going to get done. You know, and I know good leadership skills don't just expect, they inspect. But you know, after a while, there's certain people you don't have to inspect that much because you pull them in. This is what I need. Do you have any questions? You understand the time frame? Good to go. And you know that, you know what? They can be counted on. The Bible talks about a faithful messenger. Look at verse 19, same chapter. Confidence. This is something. What a verse. Why in the world would you want to change the King James Bible? Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And you notice the and there, it doesn't say or, it's like having both at the same time. So your head hurts and your feet hurt. You know, confidence in an unfaithful man, especially in time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, I want God to be able to count on me. I just want that. I want to be a faithful messenger. Let me just talk about the pulpit ministry for a while. I mean this with all of my heart. I love the people of my church, but I don't love you more than I love God. Okay, and I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and answer for whether or not I preach this book in this pulpit. And I do not want to stand there as an unfaithful messenger. And so I'd rather have y'all mad at me than have God mad at me. And thank God I'm blessed to preach in a church where people want to hear the truth. I mean that. And this is an easy place to preach. But if it's not, or if I go somewhere else and visit, and I can tell people's getting their hackles up about what the Bible's saying, I'm sorry, but I there's no reverse in this. You stand up here, you preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season. I want to be a faithful messenger. I want that more than anything. I want that more than a job. I want that more than a paycheck. I want that more than to be liked. I want that more than popularity. I want to be a faithful messenger. God's given me, as a ordained preacher, God's given me a message, and I want to be faithful in preaching it. But he's given all of us a message. He's given us the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mentioned just a few minutes ago, folks, boy, I want you to get them. There's just a little bit back there. Probably be a big squabble over who gets them afterwards. A fight back there in the foyer who's going to get some of these tracts. But amen. Be a faithful messenger. Okay? And that means you faithfully give out the message. Gospel tracts. I don't know where we lost the gospel tract thing, but boy, gospel tracts are a blessing. In this crazy world where everything's 120 miles an hour, it's hard to find opportunities where you can sit down privately, quietly with a person without distraction and take the time to thoroughly go through the gospel. Now, if you get those opportunities, jump on them. Praise God, they're still out there. I wouldn't use it as an excuse not to be a personal soul winner or use a New Testament, but the honest truth is the way this world's set up, a lot of times we're just passing people by. We've got 2 or 3 seconds here. We've got 5 seconds here. We're at a window, and the guy behind us is beeping. He wants his hamburger. Okay, and so I'm just saying, here's our opportunity. Let's be a faithful messenger. Let's get the word out. I want God to be able to count on me. And in 2013, I'm so excited this Sunday night. We're going to go over some of the things that we've got planned for this year and some exciting things. I mean it. The 40th anniversary of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We're going to just celebrate for a whole year. We're using it as our theme, revival through remembrance. And I like that. We're going to do some looking back, but we're not looking back just so we can spend a year being nostalgic. We're looking back to be stirred up by way of remembrance. That's what Peter wrote by inspiration, that you may be stirred up by way of remembrance. And remembering isn't, we don't look back. I think milestones are important. I think we ought to spend some time looking back, but we ought to look back so that it builds a fire in us. We're reminded of what God did, but listen, I don't want to just read about it in the history books. I don't want to just read history. I want to make history. And so we look back and we're inspired by what others have done and what God's used them to do. And then we look forward and say, God, do it again. Do it again here. Man, we're going to have a good time. I promise you. We're going to look every month back. And I think we're going to emphasize 11 different areas. We'll do 2 months on one of them, a different part of our church's heritage. But we're not just looking back to remember. We're looking back to be stirred. And I want to go forward. I want to go forward. I'm not looking for a hammock. I'm not looking for a shade tree. I'm not looking for an easy place. I mean, let's work before the night comes. And I think we're in a wonderful time of our nation's history. I told you the other Sunday night, I'm excited. I'm not discouraged. I mean this. I'm not discouraged by all the events of the last. I'm not. I think to myself, yes, is it getting darker? Yes, but the darker the night, the brighter the light. And what an opportunity. Are we going to face some tough times? Watch this. You want to see revival? You've been praying for revival? How in the world is America going to experience revival if we don't go through some hard times? Show me where a revival happened where a nation didn't have to be brought to his knees before they listened to God. So we want easy street, and then we want to mutter about, yeah, Lord, and by the way, you know, supply my needs and make sure that I don't ever need anything or want anything and lack for anything. And oh, by the way, send a revival. And I think we're gonna. I want revival. Amen. I want revival, and I want to be a part of that. I'm excited about it. Let me give you this last one, Proverbs 27:6. We'll read it, make a comment or two, and then we'll wrap this up. But be a faithful ambassador. Be a faithful witness. Be a faithful messenger, and then be a faithful friend. Proverbs 27:6. We spent a whole Wednesday night talking on about what Proverbs says about a true friend. But Proverbs 27:6 reminds us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What a statement there. I want to be a faithful friend. I want to be a true friend. I want to be a good friend to people. That means I'm going to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to do it in kindness. But if somebody asks me something, here's the rule around here. You get this rule, you know it. Don't ask pastor if you're not ready for the truth. Okay, I'm not going to sit there and bobblehead nonsense. Well, pastor, and then you spend 15 minutes trying to pose one question, and you're like a lawyer lining up all the reasons why I should agree with this decision that's unbiblical and ungodly. I mean, rattle on, but when you finally get done and take a breath, I'm going to say, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Absolutely not. Yeah, but. No, there's no but. There's Bible. Okay, and so, listen, that's what friends do. That's what friends do. Okay? Everybody in this church ought to seek to be a true friend to other church members. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We've got this crazy idea of what friendship is in this culture. And people tend to count as their friends in this culture people that tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. But those people aren't friends. I'm glad that I still have folks in my life that I go to, and I've given them full permission, a permission slip. I want to, listen, I don't want, somebody asked me the other day, you know, I want to surround myself with people that will speak the truth. I wish you could spend some extra, some casual time around Hal Hightower. Let me tell you something about Brother Hightower. Don't ever ask a question if you don't want the truth. Because no matter how much it hurts, if you ask, he will tell you. You know what? I like him. I like him. I called him up the other day and I said, I need to talk to somebody that's going to tell me what I need to hear, and I know you will. Okay? And so he did. I talked to him, and he did, and he told me what I needed to hear, and I said, I knew you'd say that. And he said, well, of course. Of course. Well, Brother Ross, of course. There's not people telling you different, are there? And one of the great things that you can do for each other. Now, folks, do it in love. Do it in love, but be truthful. Husbands, that means sometimes you have to be truthful with your wife. Are you her friend? Are you a true friend? And sometimes you have to be, you know what? Sometimes it's going to hurt. Ladies, look right up here. Sometimes it's going to get hurt. It's going to hurt when you hear the truth from your husband. Okay, you just want to go home and you want to boo-hoo and blabber and carry on and throw a fit, and then you want him to just sit there and go, well, instead of saying, what are you doing? Why don't you grow up? Well, what are you, in junior high? Stop it. This is foolishness. Why are we spending time on this? It's bigger than this. Okay. Come on. Kids, if your parents are one of those shotgun straight, going to look you in the eye and tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, you are blessed. I was thinking today, and really praying and grieving over a family we tried to help and just didn't seem to be able to help. One of those situations where I just, you know, kids having problems, and kids, we could have helped here. We could have helped them. But I couldn't get past mama. This kid couldn't get past mama. Guy's a great guy. I think he's trying to do right. Can't get past mama. She don't want the truth. She don't want the truth about herself. She don't want the truth about her kids. So she's going to fabricate and make up lies and rework situations, and her kids are going to go to the devil, and her husband's probably never going to be able to do what God's called him to do. I don't know about you, but I want the truth. I want the truth. I want the truth when it hurts. Watch this. Look right up here. Truth's more important than my feelings and your feelings. People sometimes say, come help us, preacher. We know we need help. Just can you help us? Yeah, I'll help you. Let me have some time counseling. Let me watch the situation. Let me learn the dynamics. Okay, boom, come on in here. Here's the truth. Well, you just don't understand. No, I do understand. Well, we're leaving. Well, I thought you wanted help. Do you want help? Because I can help you. But the only one can help you is if we're going to speak the truth. Okay. And so remember that, church. Use some sense. Church members, not everybody that comes through here, can I help? But when I've made an honest effort, you know, please have some wisdom. You know, might be good to time to stop being Facebook buddies. Because I'm telling the truth. And liars are liars. They'll lie to themselves, they'll lie to everybody else. Okay. I got to get a Facebook page so that some of you will pay attention to what I say. Because, you know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. If I had a Facebook page and I put it on there, then they'd believe me, because they believe what they read on everybody's Facebook page, and they ignore what's preached from the pulpit. I don't know. Amen. Are we done tonight? You want to go put together treats and buy books? Amen. Come on. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to the Lord, faithful in soul winning, faithful in serving God, faithful in buying books, faithful in putting together treats. Be faithful. Faithful. Amen. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. We'll have a short time of invitation. The Lord spoke to your heart in this matter of faithfulness. Preacher, I feel like I've kind of just sputtered a bit. And you know what? Welcome to the sputtering club. I doubt if there's anybody spending this long term that can't look back at a sputter or two in their Christian life and said, boy, I should have, would have, could have done a lot better there. But folks, listen to me. God, who is faithful, still loves you and still wants to use you and still will forgive you and get you back on your feet. And 2013 can be the best of Christian life you've ever had. It can be that. It can be that. It can be that. I don't care what anybody else says. Don't listen to the devil. God's faithful. Let's be faithful also. Heavenly Father, please bless this short time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.